بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his worshipper and his final messenger. May peace, salutations and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet and upon his companions, family, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to hadith number 186 from Kitab al-Siyam, from Umdat al-Ahkam. And it is the hadith of Ummul al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. An Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, Kana yakunu alayya al-sawmu fi Ramadan, Fama astati'u an aqdiya illa fi Sha'ban. And the meaning is that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, there used to be upon me a fast from Ramadan, meaning a fast which I missed in the day of Ramadan, and therefore I need to make qadha. And I was not able to make qadha, I was not able to make it up, except in the month of Sha'ban. This hadith, it is regarding delaying making the qadha. That does qadha have to be made immediately? So if a person missed 1 or 2 days from Ramadan, does a person have to make qadha immediately? Or is a person allowed to delay making al-qadha? And as you know, Sha'ban is the blessed month which comes before Ramadan. So we have Sha'ban, then Ramadan, then Shawwal. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she remembers that she would have a fast that she has missed in the previous Ramadan, and now it is Sha'ban, meaning the month after Sha'ban is going to be the next Ramadan, and she still has to make qadha of that fast. And the reason why Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she wouldn't, or why she would delay making the qadha, she says, or in another narration, in the narration of Muslim in his Sahih, he said, وَذَٰلِكَ لِمَكَانِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, that I used to delay making the qadha of my fast due to my position with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, because of her living with the Prophet and making khidmah of the Prophet, serving him, aiding him at home. Also his status in terms of the affection that he had for her, and sometimes his need for her. Because of all of this, she would delay making up the fast. So Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she would delay making the qadha for 11 months up until the next Sha'ban has come because of her responsibilities towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was aware of this and he used to allow her. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wouldn't forbid her and he wouldn't tell her to hasten to make up the qadha, nor would he rebuke her for not making the qadha and delaying it. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would accept this and allow her to do so. So what do we benefit from this hadith? Number one, the permissibility of delaying qadha if there is a need. Because she said, فَمَا أَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ أَقْضِيَ إِلَّا فِي شَعْبَانِ, I was not able to make it up except in Sha'ban. So for a person who isn't able and has an excuse, then it is permitted for them to delay making qadha up until Sha'ban, i.e. just before Ramadan the following year. And the second benefit is that it is preferred for a person to make qada as soon as possible. It is preferred and recommended. So we don't say it is an obligation. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He spoke about those people who are allowed to break their fast, meaning the traveler and a person who is ill, He said regarding them, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Make them up at a later stage. Make those days up at a later stage. And it wasn't a stipulation or a condition that they has to be made up immediately. So even though it is recommended for a person to make the qada immediately, but it isn't an obligation. And the reason why we say it is recommended is because of the general evidences in which Allah encourages the believers to hasten to do good deeds. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. Hasten to do good deeds. So from this general evidence we understand that any good deed, and from the good deed is making qada, a person should hasten to do it. And this is something which is recommended. If a person has an excuse, then they are allowed to delay all the way up until the just before the following Ramadan. And if they don't have an excuse, then it is something which is disliked. But we don't say it is haram. And of course, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she explained her excuse. In the narration of Muslim, she said, وَذَلِكَ لِمَكَانِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And this was because of the status of the Prophet, in terms of how she would aid her, how she would aid him and serve him and help around the house. The third benefit from this hadith is that it is not permitted for a person, meaning it is haram, it is not permitted for a person to delay making the qada until the following Ramadan. It isn't allowed, it is haram for a person to wait, for example, 2 years and then make the qada of that fast. And where is that benefit in this hadith? From this hadith, where did we get the benefit that it isn't allowed for a person to delay it until the after the following Ramadan? Who knows? Based from that hadith, where is the evidence? We said one of the benefits from this hadith is it isn't allowed, meaning it is haram shara'an, for a person to delay his or her qada until after the following Ramadan. Where did we take that benefit from in this hadith? The scholars, where did they deduce this benefit? Fatah Allahu alayk. Exactly. That Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she had an excuse. She said, I wasn't able to make it up, but she was focused on making it up in Sha'ban. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, he says, وَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْ حِرْصِهَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ فِي شَعْبَانِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوذُ تَأْخِيرَ الْقَضَى حَتَّى يَدْخُلَ رَمَضَانٌ آخَرٌ. That the fact that she was so focused on making up these missed fasts in the month of Sha'ban, we take a benefit that it is not allowed for a person to delay it until the next Ramadan enters. And then after this, the ulama, they differed that a person who delays the qada until the following Ramadan has entered without an excuse, for a person with an excuse, even if they couldn't make qada that year and then the next Ramadan came in, then the qada of that fast is still an obligation. Even if for 2 years passed by, or even after 5 years passed by, it still remains an obligation. So for example, a person who missed fasting or missed 2 or 3 days of Ramadan and then became ill for the whole year and wasn't able to make up the fast in the whole year, and then the next Ramadan entered, then even after that Ramadan, they still have to make the qada. This is for a person who has an excuse. But a person who doesn't have an excuse and delayed the making up of the qada until the next Ramadan entered, the ulama differed. That this person who didn't have the excuse, do they have to make up the days as well as a kafara, or merely make up the days? And why do they have to have a kafara? Because they delayed making up the fast without any Islamically valid excuse. Now there's two opinions regarding this. The first is the opinion of the Jumhur. And when we say Jumhur, when the ulama say Jumhur, they are referring to the majority of the fuqaha from the madhahib. Meaning, we have four madhahib with us, the Ahnaf, and the Malikiyya, and the Shafi'iyya, and the Hanabila. So when they say Jamhur, they often refer to that the three of the madhahib have one opinion, and one of them has a different opinion. And along with them, other ulama, and some of the madhahib which became extinct afterwards. So, the madhab of the Hanabila, and the Malikiyya, and the Shafi'iyya is that the obligation upon a person who delays making qadha without any excuse until the next Ramadan enters is they have to make qadha and they have to also pay a kafara. And the kafara is feeding a poor person for every day which you missed and delayed the qadha. So you have to make the qadha and you have to pay a kafara. And this is taken, the evidence which they used is they say statement of some of the Sahaba. There are individual statements of some of the Sahaba in which they had this opinion, Wallahu A'lam. And then the second opinion, and this is the opinion of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and this is the opinion which Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen agreed with, is that the only obligation upon the person is to make up the fast and there is no kafara upon this person. And the evidence is the same ayah in the Quran, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Allah only said in Surah Al-Baqarah, make up the days at a later stage. And Allah did not mention any kafara. And as a general rule, if for whatever reason we have a statement of a companion and it goes against an evidence from the Quran, then we have to take the evidence from the Quran. And thus, if that opinion has been authentically attributed or narrated from that companion. So the correct opinion, and Allah knows best, and this is what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen preferred, is that even if a person delayed making qadha until the next Ramadan entered without any excuse out of laziness, then the only thing which is upon them is making qadha and they don't have to pay any kafara. However, if a person did pay kafara, ihtiyatan, just to be sure, then this is something which is recommended. And then the fourth benefit we take from this hadith is how obedient Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha was towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That because of her aiding him and serving him and having relations with him, intimate relations, she would delay something which was an obligation upon her, but she would delay it to the latter stage of the obligation. And then we come to the next hadith. And this next hadith is regarding a person who dies and has missed a fast. Meaning they had a qadha upon them, or they had another, a vow that they had taken, and they didn't fulfill the vow, or they didn't fulfill the qadha, and then that person died. And this is also the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مات وعليه صيام صام عنه وليه وأخرجه أبو داود وقال هذا في النذر خاصة وهو قول أحمد بن حنبل. عائشة رضي الله عنها narrates that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever dies and upon them is a fast, then his wali, his guardian, fasts on his behalf. And Abu Dawood, who also narrated this hadith, he said that this hadith, it is specific for another. It is specific for the person who has taken a vow and then died and did not fulfill the vow. And this is also the statement of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, fi al-nadhar. This hadith, as is mentioned, is regarding a person who had a fast upon them, meaning there was an obligatory fast upon them, and then they died without making up that fast. Is another person allowed to make up that fast on their behalf? And when a person dies, then there are two types of debts upon him. There is the debt towards the rest of creation, like money which has been loaned, or a car which was borrowed, and it has to be repaid. And then there is also the debt of Allah upon this person. And this is one of the scenarios. that a person, he took another, he took a vow upon himself to fast and then he died, that fast, it remains a debt upon him. And also like a zakah, for example. So both of these debts, whether it is a debt of a person, for a person, or it is one of the debts of Allah, then it has to be repaid even if a person has passed away. And the one who should take on this responsibility is the wali. And the meaning of the wali is the guardian. First of all, when it comes to an-nadhr, the meaning of an-nadhr, it is for a person to make ilzam upon himself something which was not an obligation. I.e. an-nadhr is for a person to obligate upon himself something which Allah has not obligated upon him or upon her. So if a person said, عَلَيَّ لِلَّهِ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ شَهْرًا, that upon me is for Allah that I make i'tikaf in the masjid for a month. Allah hasn't obligated for a person to make i'tikaf for a month, but this person has obligated upon himself. And once you obligate upon yourself mentioning the name of Allah, then it becomes an obligation. Then it has to be fulfilled. And if a person doesn't fulfill it, then upon him or upon her is kafara. And this kafara, this expiation, it is called kafaratul yameen. And the kafaratul yameen, if I remember correctly, is for either a slave to be freed, or for 10 poor people to be fed or clothed. And if you're not able to do one of them two, then to fast 3 days consecutively. Wallahu a'lam, if my memory serves me right. And this is called kafaratul yameen. And from this hadith, we take a number of benefits. The first benefit is the obligation for a person to fast on behalf of a deceased person if there was an obligatory fast upon him. And the meaning of obligatory fast is either another, either a vow or a qadha, and then the person wasn't able to make qadha. As for Ramadan, for example, when a person dies and that obligation finishes. So it's only two things, either it is another or it is a qadha which they should have made. And this is the apparent meaning of this hadith. The apparent benefit from this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the relatives of a person who has died and had a fast upon him to make up the fast. The second benefit is that the one who should make up the fast on behalf of him or her is the wali. And the wali, i.e. the guardian, meaning the one who will take inheritance from him or from her. So for example, the son or the father or the son's son, if the son is not there, and carrying on down, they say ibnul ibn wa insafal, the son of the son, and it carries on going down, and the grandchild and the great grandchild, so on and so forth. Or the father, or the father of the father, wa in ala, or if it keeps going up, like the grandfather or the great grandfather, and then the uncles, and so on and so forth. And there are 15 from the men, and there are 9 or 10 from the females. Including this is the husband, and on the female side, the wife, and the final one is the slave that has been freed, the mu'taq or the mu'taqa. And this is something which is studied in Al-Fara'id. So who are the ones who make up the fast on behalf of him? Those who inherit from him, and they are called the awliya. And then after this, the ulama, they differed. That making up the fast for a deceased person, what does it refer to? And there's three different opinions. The first opinion is, and this is the madhab of Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi'i, rahimahumullah, that no fast is made up for that person, regardless of whether it is qadha or whether it is another, then you don't make up any fast. As soon as a person dies, then his actions have finished and his obligations have finished, and therefore there's no need to make up anything on their behalf. And then the second opinion is that the only fast which is made up on behalf of a deceased person is the nadr and not the qada. And this was the opinion of Abu Dawood and Ahmed ibn Hanbal, as has been stated. And then the third opinion is that both the nadr as well as the qada, which a person had to make and then he died, both of them are made on behalf of the deceased. And we'll go to the next hadith, and then we'll go back to the evidences, because the next hadith is part of the evidences that the ulama used. So the next hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qal, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فقال, and then he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ أُمِّي مَاتَتْ, verily my mother, she died, وَعَلَيْهَا صَوْمُ شَهْرٍ, and upon her was the fast of a whole month, أَفَأَقْضِيهِ عَنْهَا, should I make these fasts on her behalf? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ أُمِّكِ دَيْنٌ أَكُنْتَ تَقْضِيهِ عَنْهَا, if your mother had a debt upon her, meaning she owed other people money, would you not pay that debt on her behalf? And the man said, نعم, yes. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُقْضَىٰ, so the debt of Allah is more worthy and more deserving of being repaid and fulfilled. And then there is another narration, جاءت امراة الى النبي, that a woman came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فقالت, and she said, يا رسول الله إن أمي ماتت, O Messenger of Allah, my mother has died, وعليها صوم نذر, and upon her was a fast of a vow, a nadr, أفصوم عنها, so should I fast on her behalf? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave the same reply, أَفَرَأَيْتِ لَوْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ أُمِّكِ دَيْنٌ فَقَضَيْتِهِ, that if your mother had a debt towards other people upon her, would you repay the debt? She said, نعم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَصُومِ عَنْ أُمِّكِ, so fast on behalf of your mother. So in this hadith there are two different narrations, and these narrations are two different instances which occurred. They aren't one instance, because sometimes in hadith we have three or four narrations of the same instance told by three or four different companions. But what is apparent is that these are actually two different scenarios which occurred. Why? Because the first one was a man who came to the Prophet, and the second one was a woman who came to the Prophet. The man who came to the Prophet, he merely said that my mother had upon her the fast of a whole month. And he didn't specify whether this fast of a month was qada or whether it was nadr. And the woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her scenario was more specific. She said that my mother had to fast a fast of another. So it seems that these are two different scenarios which occurred. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the same answer. He said to both of them that you should make qada for your mothers. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave an example, or he gave a scenario which makes it very easy for people to understand. He said that if your mother had a debt or a loan upon her, that she had to pay money towards another person, wouldn't it be an obligation upon you to repay that money on her behalf? And both of them said yes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, therefore the debt of Allah which your mother had to pay towards Allah, this is more deserving of being paid. Now based on these three hadith, the ulama differed. We mentioned that the first opinion is that no qada is made for a deceased person. And this goes back to some general evidences. Firstly, Allah said in the Quran, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that it isn't for a person except that which he strived for. Meaning, a person is only rewarded for his own striving. And when a person dies, then his striving finishes, and therefore there are no more righteous actions for that person. And this is the asal. The asal is that every person is rewarded for his own actions, and every person is punished for his own actions. And nobody can bear the responsibility of doing good deeds for another person. So we aren't allowed to say, for example, I'll pray your dhuhr on your behalf. Why? Because Allah said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. For every person is only that which he has strived. And also the other general hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَبْدِ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا ثَلَاثٍ. When a person dies, all of his actions stop and cease except three actions, and then he mentioned them. Also, they mentioned some of the statements of some of the Sahaba, like Ibn Abbas, who said, لَا يُصَلُّ أَحَدٌ عَنْ أَحَدٍ. That nobody can pray on behalf of another person. وَلَا يَصُمْ أَحَدٌ عَنْ أَحَدٍ. And nobody should keep a fast on behalf of another person. Those ulama, they said that this is the statement of Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas is the same one who narrated those hadith. The second hadith was narrated by Ibn Abbas. The man and the woman who came to the Prophet ﷺ, both of them are narration of Ibn Abbas. So this shows that Ibn Abbas must have understood something different from that which he has narrated. So they say that we take the fiqh of the Sahaba as opposed to the apparent meaning of the narration, because they are more knowledgeable regarding it. And this was their evidence. And then the second opinion, which was the opinion of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimullah, was that only the nadhar is made up, and as for the qada, then it isn't made. Why? Because they said that the first hadith of Aisha, man mata wa alayhi siyamun sama anhu waliyuhu, whoever dies and has a fast upon them, then the wali makes up that fast. This is general. And it isn't mentioned whether this fast was for nadhar or qada, so it was general. The second hadith of Ibn Abbas, when the man came, this is also general, because he merely mentions that he said, my mother had a month of fasting upon her. And it wasn't specified whether it was qada or nadhar. The last hadith, it is specific, because the woman actually mentioned that my mother, she had a fast which was nadhar upon her. So they said the generality of the two previous ahadith, they are specified by this specific hadith. Understood? The generality of these hadith are specified by the last narration, which actually mentions another. So therefore, any hadith which comes in which a person has to make up the fast on behalf of another person, it is specified by another, because this is what is specifically mentioned. And then the third opinion is that both of them are made. Whether it was another or qada, it is made up on behalf of the deceased. And they said that in this situation, we don't specify the general ahadith. Why? Because they are totally different scenarios. You only specify a general hadith when it is a similar scenario. But when you have completely different scenarios, so in the first scenario, a man came to the Prophet and said that my mother had to fast a whole month. And the second was a completely different story. It was a woman who came, and in that instance, she specified it was another. So therefore, there's no reason for us to specify one and to ignore the other. And therefore, both of them are acted upon. So this is what they differed upon. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he was of the opinion that it is only the nadhar. His student Ibn al-Qayyim was of the opinion that rather any fast can be made up, whether it is nadhar or it is qada. So Allah knows best. One point that Shaykh al-Bassam mentions is that if you look at the example which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, he said, if your mother had a loan or a debt upon her, would it not be upon you to make it up for her on her behalf? And they said yes. And then the Prophet said, so the debt of Allah is more worthy. Shaykh al-Bassam, he mentions that when a person obligates upon himself something which wasn't an obligation, now he is in debt towards Allah. As for the qada, then the qada only remains as long as a person is able to do it. And if a person isn't able to do it, like a person passes away, then there is no debt between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. So therefore, using this example, his opinion was that it is only a nadhar. Why? Because it is only a nadhar which is a debt upon a person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the example of a debt. And therefore this clarifies that the fast which should be kept, it is the fast which was out of a nadhar, and as for the qadha, then it isn't an obligation to be fulfilled. After this, the ulama, they all agreed that the awliya, the guardians of the deceased, it is only something which is recommended upon them. It isn't a wajib. It is mustahab. However, it isn't a wajib. Wallahu a'lam. And we'll suffice with that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.